Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Hello, everyone. I'm Roberta Grimes. Welcome to Seek Reality, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm really glad you're with us today. You know, one of the great things about our being into our sixth year of these Seek Reality conversations is that we found a few experts that we really like who do well on various aspects of our greater reality on which I am clueless. I'm not an expert at everything, quite the contrary. And one area in particular where I am clueless is in understanding and interpreting dreams, and yet I'm told that's a very important area. So it's important that we have somebody who can tell us about it. I guess I just have to tell you parenthetically, for about the past four decades, I haven't remembered a single dream. There, I've confessed it. Just communication dreams. I had two, a horse and my dad, and that was it. But we do have one terrific expert, and his name is Dr. David Lowe. David is with us for the fourth time today, and he's a former religious professor who now does dream work. He does substance abuse counseling, meditation instruction, and something he calls real-life problems counseling, which I think many of us need most of all. He's visited religious sites all over the world. He teaches courses on popular spirituality and religion, and after his this is something he has in his bio. He had a primary initiation 35 years ago. We have to ask him about that. But after he did that, he began receiving dream guidance, and that has influenced, he says, some of the major decisions of his life. So dreams really are important. An epiphany in 2014 led him to write his first book, which we've discussed with him previously. It's called Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informal textbook for discerning seekers. David's greatest passion, he says, is helping people tune into more profound dimensions of their own spirituality. And isn't that what we're all about here? So we're excited to have him back. Welcome, David. It's so good of you to join us.
Thanks so much, Roberta. It's always great to be on with you. Very, very, very enthusiastic host indeed. I love it.
We do have fun. Let's begin by just very briefly telling our listeners a bit about your past. You have a PhD in religion, is that right?
Right. Yes. I grew up and had all sorts. I had some early socialization issues, so sort of Asperger's, dyslexic, things like that. I overcame that in the course of an unusually tumultuous early spiritual path. But the initiation that you're talking about happened when I was 29 with a, you know, well-known guru from India, and it blasted me wide open and basically ignited a dream life. And really sort of my spiritual life more or less took off, and I began getting direction, well, like you mentioned, in all kinds of different important ways until I...
Okay, let's back up a minute. What was it he did that was so magical, or what? Tell us about that, because a lot of us are curious about what is going on in Eastern religions, so that's something right. We should talk about for a minute or so.
Right. Well, the notion of a living spiritual master doesn't really have much believability in like Western Orthodox religion, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. It's all more or less formal rituals and so forth, teachings passed on. But the notion of a living spiritual master is something which the East takes for granted. Okay, Zen masters, Hindu gurus from different sects, Taoist masters. In Roman Catholicism, the Pope, and in the Eastern Orthodox Church and Christianity, and Roman Catholicism and Christianity are the only two, and also Sufism, some parts of Sufism, do recognize living spiritual masters, but not nearly as much as Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism do.
Wow.
So I was basically, this is taken for granted in the East. The reality of
not here.
Right. We have this notion that there's one person, Christ, was the greatest of all, and no one else ever comes close to him. That's nonsense. In Eastern religion, that's pretty much not believed in. Christ is of great historical importance, but technically, he has no more enlightenment than any of these other great living teachers today. Is what
when you say living teachers, are they alive now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, there are all kinds of quote unquote enlightened teachers out there. There's some good apples, bad apples. No question about that. There are some bad apples in the group, but the notion of a living spiritual master who does represent the highest true level of enlightenment that we can all get to is real. Is real and is
okay,
believed.
So
in, I think.
What did he do to make you go boing? What happened?
Well, I got this initiation, right, under really formal circumstances, where the person touches you and everything. And I cried for a whole hour.
Really?
And at that point, a profound energy was awakened, which began a slow purification process, which has continued.
Was it energy? Like when he touched you, there was energy? Is that how it worked?
Well, it works differently. Works differently with different people. When this happened to me, I felt an energy right away, but it was very, very subtle, and it manifested as whenever you hear something, whenever you hear something or feel something which causes you to weep very powerfully and strongly, there is often you don't know cognitively why you're crying.
Yes.
You just start crying. And the crying continues and continues. Well, this is what happened. I got this initiation. There was no cognitive association whatsoever as to why I began crying. But I cried more deeply than ever than I'd ever cried before for a solid hour.
Oh, okay. My goodness, David. That's
and
a little embarrassing
that opened
to
up
say.
Something.
But it's
that
an
opened up
so
something.
It touched you emotionally is what happened, is what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Okay. I just have to pause here and say, parenthetically, we on Seek Reality know Jesus to be a great deal more important than Christians believe him to be. But that's a topic for another day. I'm sure that the most advanced people in bodies very easily could be in the East, because in the West, we don't even care about that. Nobody understands why we even come here, except a few people who have done this studying.
Right.
So,
Jesus has the best press historically, in terms of he had a very important historical karma, but there are a lot of people who with just as much enlightenment had lesser known karmas, you could say.
Yeah, the only problem is that he did come to teach, which is something that the Christian religions altogether ignore. But that's a topic for another day. We've got to talk about dreams.
Is.
What first got you interested in dreams?
Well, the fact that my particular psycho-spiritual disposition predisposed me to dream a lot. So it was more or less involuntary. I took an interest in dreams because I had to in order to know what was going on with me spiritually and personally.
That makes
sense.
So,
I had a big dream life, and I wrote them all down, studied them, and analyzed them, and went to other people, talked about them, took courses in them, and so forth. Yeah, it's been a whole journey.
So what can people take from dreams? We're going to delve into what it is about dreams that you consider to be so important. But just in summary, is this a way to better know yourself, or what is this a way to do if you dream
it's aware?
It's
a way to better understand and tune into your spirituality in terms of what you should do next and what you should watch out for.
Really?
Everybody dreams every night. They're very important. Psychobiologically, if we don't dream, we basically collapse after about a week and a half and can't function. They're really important for brain maintenance in ways we don't quite fathom.
Really?
Yes, spiritually they're extreme. I mean, they are integral to the process of sleeping. Okay, not just REM sleep, but other parts of sleep we also dream. And if we're not allowed to dream, we basically fall apart physically and psychologically.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, this is how it's very, very integral to the human experience, dreaming. And so spiritually, of course, they're very, very important. We all have internal psychic faculties. Some of us have special gifts like clairvoyance or what have you, but we all dream, okay? And we all have these internal psychic faculties, which are always scanning higher reality to look for ways that we could be potentially happier and more content. And they report back to us in dreams.
Huh.
That's part of
okay.
who we are. That's part
okay,
of who
so,
we are.
So let's talk about what you call the language of dreams, which is,
right.
I find, very confusing. Go ahead. What is a symbol?
Well, you know, the notion that dreams, most all dream workers believe, I mean, dream workers of a liberal mystical persuasion, not the biological or psychological ones, the hard-nosed scientists, no, we're talking about guys who believe in the spiritual and mystical, spiritual dimension of life. Okay, most all of us dream workers in that area believe that dreams communicate in a universal language of symbol and metaphor. Okay. It's universal in the following sense. Maybe this is the best way to explain it. We're all conditioned by languages and cultures, right? And so we all have this conditioning from birth as to what language and culture we grew up in. But before language, before culture, we all perceive the same basic reality, okay? So I'm a 12-year-old kid who's the son of an Afghan terrorist, an Eskimo elder, an Amazonian shaman. You know, they're all three are illiterate. A New York life insurance agent with his MBA in business administration. Very
literate. You may still be illiterate, though.
No. All those four people have the same perception of what you might call the basic world.
Really?
Before we do anything with our language, with our cultural conditioning, we all know what clouds are. We all know what parents are. We all know what water is. We all know what sex is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we know what all those there is a very, very basic level in which we know what all those things are without any language or cultural conditioning whatsoever. Just the raw data from the world is the same for everybody, right?
Okay, well, so...
You see what I mean?
Yes, I do see that. Trying to understand our dreams, you talk about symbols, motifs, a theme,
right.
And an archetype. Four
right.
different words to me, which sound like synonyms, I'm sorry, almost... How do they differ when you're using them in talking
it's not
about dreams?
Really, the definition of those words isn't really, well, archetype is important. An archetype is a basic pattern in higher reality of the same kind of thing exemplifying itself in all different places in physical real reality. For example, the notion of manhood. Right, the notion of manhood, masculinity, it manifests itself in a million different ways in a million different cultural and social situations, right? But it all
uh-huh.
comes out of one blueprint in higher reality, you might say. That
okay.
is the original blueprint of manhood or masculinity. Is
oh, okay, that's an archetype. It's the original blueprint of something. Okay,
of something exactly, and that something is very profound. It's sort of you can understand. You know, there's God, there's physical reality. Halfway between the two, a reality isn't quite crystallized yet, but it's still kind of halfway organized into basic categories before it creates its way all the way down to physical reality. So archetypes are halfway between us and God, you might say. They represent a deeper organizing pattern of reality before it came into being. And
so
we
what's
visit
a theme,
that reality
though?
In dreams.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Well, what's a theme? Is it...
commonsensically, a theme is anything that you see over and over again.
Okay, all right. So it doesn't matter. For example, if I always see ponies in my dream, that would be a theme of my dreams. Is that it?
Right. Right. Okay. Or wandering around in the rooms of that house which you visited time after time after time.
David asked me to send him a simple dream, which I, of course, never have. So I sent him, if we have time, we'll talk about it, because I am interested in knowing what the heck that was about. You got me thinking about it again. But, okay, so a theme what I told him was that for the first probably after, from my teens till I was close to 40, I think, I would dream several times a year about the same house. I would always be going in the front door, big mansion, but there would be different details each time.
Right.
So
right.
What you're saying,
the theme is wandering through the house.
Yes.
Okay. That happened over and over and over again for a long time in your dream.
I get it.
Right.
Okay.
It probably refers. If it were my dream, I mean, houses are a major, frequent symbol in people's dreams all over the world, and they tend to represent the major compartments of a person's life, or path, or a certain incident in the person's life, broken down into all compartments. So, we all have different areas of interest, different phases of life, different periods in our life where we did different things. Different areas of preoccupation. All the rooms in the house represent, you know, subconscious, super basement, second floor, third floor, first floor, what level of the mind, what compartment of the mind. That's kind of what houses tend to represent in people's dreams. So you're wandering through this house over and over again, right? What was most noteworthy in your description from what you said was what you didn't do, what you never did, which is to go up to the second floor, to like the main part of the house. You never went there.
Right? It was formal rooms, but it was, I think bedrooms were upstairs mainly, but there were drawing rooms, and it was so fancy.
Right.
And I didn't live in a fancy house.
Two things stood out for me. One is you're doing the same thing over and over again, pretty much. And secondly, you never go up to the second floor.
No, I never do. Right.
Right. So what that, I mean, if it were me, I would say that I spent my time, you know, exploring different parts of my world, all these different rooms that I walk into and visit are different parts of myself, different aspects of myself, which I utilize over and over again, the same way, over and over again, over and over again. A little bit different, but pretty much the same thing time after time after time, right? And I never go upstairs.
Wait, right? Was that because I was afraid to go upstairs?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you had done dream work 40 years ago during that time,
yeah,
and you had been clued into by a good dream worker, listen, it's really interesting. You never go up there. What do you think that represents?
You know, I don't know.
You've been utilizing certain things in your life all this time, and you never took the time to explore what that second floor was about. You know.
Okay.
If you had, would you be closer to God? Would your spirituality be more advanced and integrated than it is now? You know, maybe so. You know, I don't know. The dreams are interesting. But
it never occurred to me. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't want to. It was just that I was always doing what interests me is that I remember that series of dreams, and there probably were 30 of them or 40 of them over that time, more maybe.
Sure.
But I don't remember any other dream from that whole period.
Well, the fact that you haven't dreamed, the fact that, you know, everybody dreams every night, and nobody knows why some people don't remember their dreams. Anyone who wants to can remember their dreams more often than they do by taking an interest in them, by doing affirmations before going to sleep, all that sort of thing. You can start to remember dreams like you weren't doing before, but even then, some people who are very into spirituality, they meditate, they're all curious about these things, and they don't get any inner messages at night. They just don't remember their dreams, even though they're spiritually very well off and they're doing their practices, and they want to get, you know, they're very much into their spiritual journey, taking a big interest in it, and they still don't dream. That's because we can only conclude they don't need to, or they don't need to remember them. anyway.
That's been my conclusion, David. I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
we
remember
that if we need to. Yes.
Right, exactly. I mean, a lot of us have done our work, have been through a lot of turmoil, have learned a lot about ourselves, have followed all of our intuitions and all the hints that we got satisfactorily, and we're doing well in our spiritual path and so forth. But you know, a lot of people, I would say 4 out of 5 people, not everybody, but at least 4 out of 5 people could benefit from paying more attention to their dreams than they do. And, I mean, that information is on offer all the time. But
yes.
The thing to appreciate is that it's part of who we are. We have this higher dimension to our being.
Yes.
And it's always trying to watch out for us. But we need to be interested in it. It's not going. It comes to us in code. God doesn't spoon feed us. God doesn't spoon feed us something for nothing.
Right.
We need to do our part. And you understand dreams best by discussing it with other people. In like a dream circle, if not with a therapist or a dream worker, then you can work with other people. 4, 5, 6 other people can work together who know nothing about dream work if they're courteous with each other and have patience with each other and follow the same format in the group that they form. They can help each other understand their dreams with a few basic things in mind. So
Can you help us understand what are some of the kinds of dreams that many people have? Could you tell us about a few of those and what they mean?
Sure. I mean, there's what I call common psychology dreams, which reflect tensions and situations that we all experience in life, especially as we're growing up and in our younger adult years. Dreams like, probably the single most common, maybe being chased by something or someone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There's something that you need to do that you're not facing up to doing. Some responsibility, something that you don't want to look at, something that,
So that's what a chase dream tends to mean, that you're avoiding
usually
something?
Usually it's something which you should be doing, should be noticing, should be taking responsibility for, should be doing something about that you're not doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's chasing you. Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So it's going to be something along those lines. Or like being undressed in public. Very, very common dream. Okay, so you know how some people, they're insecure. They talk about themselves in a way which kind of cuts themselves down without realizing it.
Yeah.
That to talk about themselves and they're basically telling other people more about themselves than they'd want them to know. Other people can pick up on stuff about that person, which they would just assume them not want to know. So if you have a dream in which you're undressed in public, you might be very insecure about stuff. You may be worrying about things more than you should be. Or you may be giving away your power, giving away things about yourself to people that you shouldn't.
Okay. That makes sense. Yes, you're making yourself naked, and
exactly.
your dreams are telling you, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Without realizing it.
Yeah.
Without realizing it. It may be that you're worrying about things more than you should be. You may be more paranoid about other people than you need to be. You think that they know things about you, which, in fact, they don't know. So, being naked.
That's interesting.
It's a very common dream, but it has a very relevant message.
So, Art, if I had that dream, what should I do about that? Should I think about what it is I'm doing that's making me feel so exposed?
You would think about your interactions with people. Ways in which you are insecure, ways in which you're paranoid, fearful without needing to be fearful, ways in which, what are you saying to people? Are they the kinds of things which maybe look twice at the things which you're commonly talking about to other people? Think twice about how fearful or paranoid or insecure you may be. You may be worrying for no good reason. Or you may be giving away your power. All those sorts of things. The dreams alert us to those things.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, let's talk about a few more that because
oh, there's tons. I mean,
but it makes sense to me. What you're really saying is that this is your inner self talking to your waking self and saying, "Hey, we have an issue. Would you work on it?" And that makes that makes perfect sense to me. Okay, that's
exactly.
Great. What else? What else do people dream?
It's part of who we are. We all have this faculty. So, okay, how about falling? That's super common general theme in people's dreams. It usually refers to something like being totally out of control or totally over your head in some situation. You know, so if you have a project which you have to report on next week at work, and you haven't been doing a good job, and your boss thinks that you're going to be great come Monday morning, right? And you really don't have it together like you should be.
Uh-huh.
Well, two weeks before that Sunday, 2 weeks before that Monday, you'll have a dream of falling. You're flying by the seat of your pants without realizing. You're way over your head in something. This is something which you're not. Which you really don't have under control, which is a little bit too much for you. You basically have no idea what you're doing.
So your subconscious self is using that to pull you back a bit and say, focus, get it done, you can do it, or something. I mean, is this a pep talk, really?
Yeah, well, it's an implication. Dreams communicate information through implication. You know, so if you're falling a lot, if you're falling a lot in dreams, then a lot of things are kind of out of control, or you aren't keeping track of a lot of things, or not doing as good a job on a lot of things, or kind of hoping things will turn out well when in fact they may not. You're not really paying attention to a lot of stuff that you need to be looking at.
Okay, here's one which I did have a long time ago. You're heading for the exam room and you realize you had never studied for the exam.
Right. Yeah.
What does that mean?
A test taking. Flunking an exam. Very common. Very, very, very common dream. Usually has something to do with competence and confidence about something. So, you know, if you have to talk to your six-year-old about the facts of life or something, and you've never done that before as a parent, you're really nervous. How's that going to go over with my 10-year-old when I try to get up here? Oh, my God. As a parent, having to do that with your 9-year-old or something might not be that easy. You know,
so it's a sense of being unprepared in general in some other area.
Right. I mean, it's usually about something around competence, not being ready for something which you need to do. And that can be a hint, you know. So, again, these things are, if you really take these messages and, you know, I mean, these are very, very common dreams. You can look them up online, you know, something like this. You can look up online easy. What else? Gracious. Being pregnant, you know. Anyone
men don't have those, I would assume, right?
No, I don't. Well, no, men sometimes have dreams of being pregnant, sure.
Do they really? Who knew?
Well, usually, what does it mean when someone's pregnant?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Typically, well, off the top, this is probably the easiest of all, just to guess off the top of your head. I mean, something is baking, something is being cultivated.
Because something's about to happen.
Being nurtured.
Is that what you're saying? Something's in the process of being born?
Right, exactly. A new artistic project, area of interest, you know, something that you want to create. And, I mean, the dream, I mean, our super subconscious mind, our super conscious minds know these things months in advance. You know, the dreams cross time and space. It's amazing. But if, like, well, health issues very commonly it sometimes happens when people dream of being pregnant in their arm or in their leg or in some other part of their body, you know. That often is an indication of some kind of growth or slow or slowly developing health issue.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, but if something is happening deep in your system, something germinates and begins to grow, which is unhealthy, which is going to manifest 9 months later as a tumor or something – your dreams will start speaking up about it.
Oh.
Your dreams, they will. They'll start speaking up about it.
Sometimes you then should maybe go to the doctor?
Some people, many dream workers believe that dream symbols or that imagery in dreams usually have many, many layers of meaning, many different possible meanings, okay? But there's always one which is more likely and probable than any other. The meaning that you come to when you look at a dream and try to figure it out depends on how much effort you want to put into it. You can do work on it by yourself, get help from other people, look in symbol dictionaries or not, go to a therapist or not, and so forth.
Right.
But, you know, very often, so I lost the track of the question. The question that you just asked was what? I'm sorry, I got lost.
I don't remember either. I'm so interested in the thought that there is a connection between what is going on during sleep. Because while your body sleeps, we all astral travel. And
yeah,
I have always thought that dreams are your conscious, or your brain, which is so limited and which doesn't create your consciousness. But then it suddenly gets all this new information when you re-enter your physical body and it tries to make sense of it. That's what I've always thought dreams were, except the communication dreams, of course, from dead people.
Yeah, I think that the main thing to be aware of here is that, you know, our mental life, our thoughts and feelings exist in higher dimensions, not just the first three dimensions.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So they cross time and space. So when we dream in other realms, in realms which cross time and space from our own immediate reference.
Yes.
In a sense, our minds pervade everywhere in the universe, where our bodies are just here.
Yes, okay. That's true, actually.
So our dream, we're always picking up information when we're dreaming.
Yes.
And that's what dreams report back on to us, is the status of our immediate and distant psychic surroundings, if you will, and ways that we can do things or not do things more easily, obstacles which are coming up, what we might do about those obstacles or not, whether or not we want to pay attention to the dream. So, yeah, it's really, and again, crossing time. So someone who has a health issue like that, before it manifests physically as a tumor in an X-ray, you know, 3 months before that, he'll have a dream which indicates in a very specific way what this thing is which is growing inside of him.
Oh,
and if it's like most people, he'll ignore it and just think it's a funny dream of a football or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
A funny dream of being pregnant in my calf, pregnant in my forearm.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, okay, but just everyone understand that this is a gigantic reality. All we can do is look at little tiny pieces of it from so many different directions. It's as if each time we do one of our programs, it's one stitch in this gigantic tapestry. And what I'm learning from David, and as I think, one of the reasons I feel distracted or seem distracted is I'm thinking about this on air. We do travel astrally when we sleep. We often meet with loved ones and with our guides. And I had thought that when we dream, it's just our conscious brain, it's little tiny minimal brain, suddenly getting the impact when we come back into the body and trying, and you know, and it was garbage. But that's not true, is what you're telling us, David. You're saying no. When we come back, our superconscious mind is giving our brain the kind of information it needs to give to us from what we just did in the astral. That's what you're
right.
saying. Really, that's really
yeah.
important. I never thought of
yeah.
that. Taking on air here.
Well, you know, dreams happen for a reason. You know, they're not just random events. We can talk about other common dreams, I think, would be a good way to. So what else?
For example, if you have a dream in which you meet Elvis, what does that mean?
In meeting a celebrity, usually relates to the notion of just communicating with some higher, better aspect of yourself. We all have our ideal self in our minds versus our real self with our with our given particular issues in life. You know, we all know what we want to be and could be ideally as grown up, mature, spiritually developed people.
Yes.
versus what we actually are right now. Right. Well, if usually meeting a celebrity is a very common dream, usually is, you can think of that as, you know, meeting some better part of yourself.
Oh.
You're communicating with some higher, more developed aspect of yourself, which is saying hi. That's would qualify as what I call a congratulatory dream, being a patting on the back dream. You're doing well.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good thing.
The implicit message. The implicit message is that you're doing all right. Keep it up.
So you don't have to make any changes. Start
right.
to learn
sometimes
to say.
Sometimes we need to be encouraged. You know.
Okay. Oh, the dream is encouraging us. I just love that.
Yeah. I
maybe that was your mom in spirit. You met with her, and she's encouraging you, and that ended up being Elvis in your dream. That's really great.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes the powers that be, the great self, what I call God/self. Sometimes God realizes that we need some encouragement, and we'll get a dream like that. We'll meet
wonderful?
George Clooney or whoever.
So okay. Well, what about if you're lost? Because that's another kind of dream people have.
How about let me talk briefly about visitation dreams? Because you mentioned about being visited by relatives. Very often, when you see a relative in a dream, he or she is just another symbol. It doesn't have any particular.
Yes, I tell people that too. Yes,
but when there is emotional power and meaning connected with the visitation, connected with the relative, or connected with the loved one, you can think of it as a sincere visitation dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
In that case, easy to tell apart.
Right, right. Now, in that case, I mean, usually one axiom, which pretty much all dream workers go on commonsensically, is that everything in a dream is part of the dreamer.
Okay. Yes, yes.
But in the case of a visitation dream, you can think of there's sort of a paradox involved here. Your father, your deceased father, with whom you are connecting with powerfully and emotionally in a dream for the first time since he died, whatever, is indeed part of yourself. But it also represents his completely independent spirit visiting you.
Yes,
absolutely.
Clearly
absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. No question. But he's also part of yourself. That's the great mysterious paradox. So visitation dreams are important to understand.
Let's talk about snakes, because from the time I was very young, I've heard that snakes are a symbol of sex. Is that true?
It can be true. Certainly can be true. Snakes are probably, along with eagles and a couple of other animals, like, you know, eagles, elephants, but especially snakes, especially because of the biblical association. Snakes have a greater number of different types of associations and symbols than perhaps any other animal. And yeah, they can be phallic. They're associated with wisdom, slyness, cunning. They're associated with spiritual initiation, because when people get bitten by snakes, you know, the body gets transformed, although not in a good way.
Oh, wow.
They're associated with the awakening of the kundalini energy at the base of the spine in Eastern philosophy, with the chakras and everything. They're associated with their phallic, the Freudian association of, you know, the snakes. So there are all kinds of association with snakes.
Oh, that's interesting. So
they're very mysterious.
Do people dream about sex too? Do they just plain dream about it?
Well,
having sex with someone?
Most of the time, when you're having sex with someone in a dream, I mean, it could be that you are horny and so forth, but more likely if you have a normal sex life, you're more or less normal adult, you know, with a happy sex life anyway. Having sex with this particular person, it's something along the lines of wanting to connect with something in that individual, some quality that individual has, which you really
perfect.
Admire.
That makes That makes perfect sense.
So, you know, you really want to get to know that person, whatever aptitude or ability or that person has, which you envy or look up to, you know, which you would like to have of your own. You really want to know it and really want to get it, you know.
So it's really a way to better connect with someone, or it's a wish to better connect with someone.
Yeah, it's usually something like that.
That's great.
Something like that.
So, okay, if other people who actually have dreams, if they're interested in dealing with their dreams, what would they do? They would write them down when they first wake up so they remember them?
What you want to do is, even if you have just 10 minutes a day, you can still just, you know, it can take 40 minutes to write a dream down if that's a long, complex dream.
Sure.
Who has that kind of time? Very few people have that kind of time. So what you want to do is just spend literally 2 or 3 minutes making some bullet points, you know. 2 or 3 minutes puzzling over the stupid thing, what it could possibly mean.
Right.
And then 2 or 3 minutes writing down things in your journal, questions and frustrations back to God. What's this telling me? Give me another hint. Come on, I need more. I need more information on this. Give me another chance at this one. What does this have to do with anything? You know, express your frustrations on a piece of paper, and just do that on a regular basis, 10 minutes a day, twice a week, whatever. And you have that dialogue going, you know, with yourself. It's important to keep a dialogue going, and by paying attention to your dreams, jotting a few things down. I mean, if you can set aside a half hour, 3 times a week. 15 minutes, 3 times a week, to work your personal journal with your dreams. Then, with those 3 steps, just basic bullet point. Even if it's just a single image you can remember. Super complex dream, you can't remember anything except one image. Write it down. Then think about it. What could it be meaning? And then express your frustrations in some way on paper. Do that 3 times a week for 10 minutes each time. And you'll have a dialogue going that you didn't have going before, and you'll start getting direction.
Well, so how would a dream worker help you with that process?
A dream worker like myself, I mean, if you have a really relatively complex dream, then I would help you by first getting a lot of information about the client. I can't, you know, dreams are person-specific. You know, the different symbols mean different things to different people under different circumstances. So I would need to get to know the individual, which I do. I get basic demographic information, personal concerns, issues going on in their life, what their mind is dwelling on, personal hang-ups, all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
That knowledge is crucial to helping the person with their dream.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, even if the person doesn't tell me everything about him or herself, just the things which they are willing to share can do a great deal towards helping me get a really specific sense of what their dream is telling them. And what's really important to understand is that I do not know, only the dreamer can know what the dream means in the end. Only he or she has his particular set of memories, associations, and sentiments, and so forth. I can't help the person know unless I really know the person well. And it would be a process of myself and the client figuring out the dream together. I can't do it on my own.
So basically what you would do would be to work together with them to come up with the deeper meanings and get the insights to empower them to go forward in their lives in a better way?
Yes, absolutely. Sure.
Well, this is interesting because I get questions from people who wonder about dreams and what they mean in terms of our waking lives, and or will be concerned because their dreams have suddenly changed. They used to have, you know, friendly dreams, and suddenly they're having scary dreams.
Yeah, sure. Those kinds of shifts can be very important to take note of.
David, we're coming to the end of our time. I want people to know how they can reach you, and I think your website is interesting. It's worldspirituality.com. Is it .com?
The email is david@worldspirituality.com.
Yes. So it's easy to reach him. And his website, as I thought, as I say, I thought was kind of interesting. So david@worldspirituality, one word, .com.
So the email is david@worldspirituality.com. The website is davidlowmsphd.com. David Lowe, no E on the name, just David
Lowe. Yes, David Lowe.
MS as in Masters of Science, David Lowe, msphd.com.
Yes. Well, you're well, very much more educated than I am, I have to tell you, but good for you, David. Well, this has been very interesting for me because, as I say, dreams are not my field, but thank you so much for being here, and we'll have you back again in a bit to talk about more of these fascinating details that are really important to our developing and growing spiritually, but there are some people who really will be reached by this kind of thing, other people not so much. But I think it's very good that you're doing this for us, David. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Roberta. We'll do it again some other time.
Sometime soon. So this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and when you really get everything that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. He's going to be here amazingly for the 23rd time. And the reason we have him back so often is that he's one of the very few experts in the world on most of the things we talk about on Seek Reality. So whenever I have something to talk about, there are very few people I can talk about a few things with other than Dr. Hogan. So I have him back, and suddenly it's the 23rd time. He's going to join us next week to discuss a topic people often email me about, which is, why do such terrible things happen in the world? Why does God allow that? Just today I had an email from a wonderful woman I hear from every so often, and her huge concern was pedophilia. Not just by why God allows it, but could I forgive it? Could I forgive someone who molested a child I loved? And I told her I could, and without a second thought, I could forgive even much worse stuff than that. And next week, we're going to talk with the man who I believe is the most advanced being spiritually that I've ever met. And he and I will answer that hardest of all questions. Why bad things happen to good people? Of course, I've just given away part of the reason bad things happen, which is our need to learn to forgive. We'll share the rest of it with you next week. So please join us. This week, we've been talking with David Lowe. He's been enlightening us about dreams and dream work, and frankly, I think I stumbled all over poor David's interview because I'm so confused about dreams. I never remember dreams, but some people find dreams to be very important and very useful and very enlightening. So worldspirituality.com, david@worldspirituality.com. Understanding what our dreams are telling us is just another way that we can come to better understand ourselves. As you know, I have a lot of nonfiction books, Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, The Fun of Loving Jesus, The Fun of Meeting Jesus for Young Children, and very soon, I actually was working on the final reviews today, The Fun of Loving Jesus, Embracing the Christianity that Jesus Taught. Jesus came as our teacher, and he is the greatest teacher who ever lived. When you understand, it doesn't matter. Frankly, he was a secular teacher. He didn't come. He came to end religions, never not to start another one. So all of the things that Jesus came to do, he can now begin to do if we will help him. So I'm very excited about this book, and other people are as well. It was supposed to be out last year. My hope is it'll be out by the end of March. All of my books, of course, are on Amazon, and you can get them in bookstores too, but why bother? The adult books, of course, are also available as audiobooks. If you want to talk about anything, any of my books, or if you just want to just tell me something, you know, tell me I don't like what you said, whatever you want to say, I get emails, a lot of them every day, and I answer every one of them. But please, therefore, although it can take a week to do that, but please be sure to give me your correct email address, because I hate it when I write a long email and then it bounces. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net and on other and a lot of other places, including all the Dream Vision 7 radio family. If you ever wonder where you can hear me right now, you could always just go to the radio tab at seekreality.com. And please also check out my blog. We are right now deep in a whole series of blog posts, which I'm getting a lot of feedback from, too. Meanwhile, I just want you to understand how perfectly beautifully you are loved. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. There is nothing, nothing more powerful than the love for you that is in the universe. It's so sad that so many people don't understand that, but you are God's most beloved child, you. So please know that. Please enjoy. Please make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.